Hello, everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and this is the Red, White, and Rude. And tonight, Duck Dynasty. The revival is tanking. Here's why it's lost the gritty soul fans love and what they need to do to make it work. We'll dive into the original's redemption-fueled glory, Phil's legacy, and the reboot's polished missteps. Why our ratings? Not quite abysmal, but compared to the first series, abysmal. We'll unpack the patchwork American dream for a family that's no longer Duck Dynasty. So join me to explore why fans are disappointed and what went wrong. But before we begin, do not forget to bookmark grumblingsmedia.com and follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, and Spotify under the handle Grumblings Media. And if you are watching this, what you can do right now is hit the thumbs up, as that helps us out tremendously. So let's get right into it. Why is Duck Dynasty the revival failing? Well, Duck Dynasty, the original, was a cultural phenomenon. It hooked America with faith, family, and duck calls. It showcased Robertson's family, or their family's grittiness, the authentic American dream. And 8 years after the original's last airing, Duck Dynasty, the revival, premiered in June of 2025 in an attempt to bring back the magic. The reality is that it's underperforming, and compared to the original ratings, it's abysmal, and fans, including me, are let down. So what's my take? My take is the revival's lower than expected ratings come from losing Phil's gritty redemption, his humbleness and struggle. Plus, a disconnect with the new cast, lacking the relatable down-to-earth vibe of Phil's sons and the original crew. The third generation is God-fearing and lovable and polished, but privileged, and not the Duck Dynasty we love. So what I'm trying to say is, it's not that we don't like them, it's just we don't connect with them. Age may be one issue, but it's also suffrage. America loves a redemption story, and we get none of that with the kids. Willie and his wife, Corey, they've misjudged their audience, thinking we'd love their kids like the original clan. Or maybe they hope we would, and maybe that's a reason it took 8 years for this to happen. I'm not sure. But we as fans, we're not hateful. We don't think that in the sense of the negativity. We want to like it. We're just disappointed. We wanted the same raw soul, and we got something else. The truth is that this isn't Duck Dynasty. It's the Robertson clan, a different story. So let's explore the original's glory, Phil's legacy, the revival missing the boat, and why. Grab your duck call, people, and let's unpack why this reboot's not working. God, I love my apple cider while I shoot a podcast. So let's talk about the history of the original Duck Dynasty, its glory, and what made it special. The original Duck Dynasty aired, this seems like so long ago, and I came to Duck Dynasty later. I think it had maybe a couple of seasons left. I just did not. I'm not into reality. I just didn't care for it. But then one day there was nothing on. My wife was watching it, and boom, I got hooked. So it aired March 21st, 2012 until April 5th, 2017 on A&E. 11 seasons, 130 episodes. And it followed the Robertson family in West Monroe, Louisiana, and they were running Duck Commander. Duck Commander is a hunting gear empire, and it was founded by Phil Robertson in 1972. Now, for those of you not aware of Phil Robertson, real quick, what I knew about Phil Robertson growing up, and I knew of him before anybody else, before it got famous, only because of Terry Bradshaw. The Pittsburgh Steelers were my favorite football team growing up as a child, and I had read years ago how Phil Robertson gave him a shot and said, "Terry, I'm not coming back for my senior year," or something to that effect, and said, "It's your ball club. It's your team." And that eventually gave Terry Bradshaw the opening to be the number one overall pick once he went pro. And Phil walked away. But God blessed him, and he began the beginnings of his own empire. So it was built on Phil's patented duck call, and that revolutionized hunting. In fact, they still have the first drawings of that, and I think it's in their museum. And the show is kind of like a bit of a sitcom humor, family values, faith, and outdoor chaos. It starred Phil, his wife, Miss Kay, and the sons, Jace, Willie, and Jeff, and Uncle Cy was part of the extended clan. I always suspected that Phil dearly loved his brother because his brother stuck with him through thick and thin and in some ways helped keep the family together as best he could during tumultuous times. So the oldest was Alan. He came on later in the series but was not a regular. He brought a direct spiritual perspective. Now, my take on Alan is my take on the oldest sibling in any family. They tend to have to endure the greatest hardship. And in broken families or families that struggle, it tends to be a negative experience because all the sins are put on the son or daughter because it's their first go at being a parent. And you learn from there. I have seen the story of estranged oldest kids, or maybe not estranged, but there are family issues there with the parent. And I wonder, because we don't know, but I wonder if that was the case with Alan. You know, I would not be shocked if Alan had to take some of the beatings that daddy gave when he was in a drunken stupor or whatnot. And they never showed it on The Blind, the movie about Phil Robertson. But I always suspected that. You couldn't show that if it did happen. I'm not saying it did happen, but the way that family story came about, I'm like, you're not going to tell the deepest, darkest things that's going to alienate neither. That's just not good marketing. And I hate to say it that way, but it's true. Now, the episode dealt with duck hunting, pranks, and family dinners ending in prayer. The motto was faith, family, and ducks, and it captured an authentic lifestyle. And that's what the core appeal was. Raw, faith-driven family living the American dream through struggle. I'm looking at my timer like, is my timer going? So my thought on all this is it was a gritty redemption story, and that was the heart of Duck Dynasty. And Duck Dynasty, the revival, does not have any of that. They didn't lose it. They never had it. In my notes, I put they lost it, but they never had it. So what are the ratings? It was a cultural peak. It peaked in season 4. That was in 2013. 11.8 million viewers at its premiere. And this was on a cable network. So, and those are numbers that any regular network, this was cable. The network television would have been salivating at these numbers today. And the Christmas special was December 11, 2013, and that had 8.9 million. After that, it started to slowly decline, and it dropped to 1.9 million by season 11. And that was cable TV numbers were dropping all across the board. And as is always the case, people do move on and grow tired of a series, but they have 1.9 million in cable television. That's still renewal time, still renewal for most programs, depending on the cost. So to me, the massive ratings prove fans love the raw struggle, and the revival's low numbers show it's missing that. And to give you a quick snapshot here, season 1, 15 episodes, averaged 2.6 million. Season 2, 5.4 million. Season 3, 8.5 million. And then season 4, 9.4 million. Those are the averages. You know, and then after that, it began to drop. Season 5, 7.1 million. They attribute some of that to the GQ interview. We'll get into it in a little bit. But at that point, everything peaks and then it goes down. You know, that's just a natural evolution of television. And season 5, it dropped to 7.1 million. But that wasn't as bad a drop as some shows have seen. But then season 6, 5.6, 7, 4.3. You see the trend here. Season 8, 3.9, season 9, 2.8, 10, 2.4, and it closed out at 1.9 million. At that point, there may not have been many more stories to tell. So what is the story? Well, it's a story about Phil's redemption and the American dream. Phil is Duck Dynasty's soul. He is or was the beating heart because he passed. He founded Duck Commander again in 1972 with the Revolutionary Duck Call. His personality was very raw. What you saw is what you got. You know, witty, unapologetic faith, and he was a fan favorite. In fact, to show how raw he was, I think his son Jep was put in the hospital, and they didn't know what it was. And I think he was in a coma for a little while. And then when he came out, Phil got around, eventually visited. His sons were already grown and had left. He goes, did you see a white light? No. It feels like that's troubling. You got the feel unfiltered. You know, at 20, his redemption came at 28. He was a hard drinking, unfaithful bar owner to devout Christian at 28. In fact, the guy who he partied with, that's something here, guy who he partied with hard, I think maybe 10, 15 years ago, he called Phil after watching the show. And then Phil drove to where he would live at. I want to say Missouri or Mississippi, somewhere like that. And Phil saved him. And he became a born again. And he passed not long after that. You know, and the reason I say that is he was portrayed in the movie, you know, as the guy who started to lead Phil astray. So his past, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. He neglected Miss K and he hit rock bottom. And after his transformation, he literally walked around with the Bible, preached the gospel, baptized converts in rivers, especially right by his house. He was like the Apostle Paul. He rose from sin to lead others to Christ. So he embodies the American dream, lifting yourself up through struggle. And he lived humbly. He stayed in his double wide trailer despite the wealth. He valued simplicity, nature, and faith over materialism. You know, so in watching Duck Revival, I tracked it down. I remember he had said something about his grandkids. It took a little while, but I found it. And it was season one, episode two. And this is a quote. Quote, the Robertson clan went from poor to rich. See, I'm dealing now with little rich kids. And he was talking about his grandkids. Quote, I'm just trying to help them see their core values, unquote. Quote, nature, they need to get into that more, unquote. Quote, you all got to remember, part of being a Robertson is knowing how to live off the land. And these quotes, again, are from Duck Dynasty Season 1, Episode 2. The episode was called CEO for a Day. And they are God-fearing people, but they never learned how to live off the land. They didn't get into nature as much. And Willie said this in the first episode of the revival. They never learned how to duck hunt. But I do believe they understand their core values. I do believe they love their Popeyes, I think they call them. But then they are detached from the struggles that Phil and his sons went through growing up. And that's not good or bad. That's just a fact. And I could be wrong, but if they are attached, then we don't see those struggles coming through. We just see the big mansions, the tennis court. Everything's in a rich setting. That they're okay with flaunting it. And it doesn't bother me, but I have no connection to it. And that's just how it is. And the connection I had was that Duck Commander warehouse. You know, them being in the mud, them being dirty, Phil's double wide. It was very middle class, even though by that point they were well off. But Willie always showed his showed off his mansion, not in a good or bad way. It's where he lived and where scenes took place. He wasn't going to try to hide that. So I'm not negating it or knocking it. But I am saying, from the reality of it, people aren't relating to it. Phil's gritty path to the American dream hooked America. The revival's polished kids, they can't match that. And it's, I'm sorry, people. I can't match it. And it's dooming its ratings. So real quick, Phil in 2013 was suspended. A&E suspended Phil over GQ comments on homosexuality. You got to understand this. The American left will attack Christian values, period. I don't care if you're homosexual. Most Christians don't either. But they have their beliefs in terms of what they believe will happen after we pass. And Phil was like that, saying, hey, we don't believe in homosexuality, etc. And they condemned him. You never see that being done with Islam. Never. And that pisses the hell out of me. It's like, Christianity is used as a punching bag because Christians accept American values. They accept the Constitution, and everybody has their right to live. But the left tries to destroy them, tries to knock it. And A&E fell victim to the online mob that doesn't really exist in numbers. Rush Limbaugh had a great show where he explained how these campaigns are created with a handful, like a couple dozen people that make it look like thousands of thousands. Well, they suspended him. It was announced after the season 4 Christmas special, which is why I brought that up. His suspension lasted 9 days. He was reinstated, a week later. And season four had already wrapped. No episodes aired during the suspension. Season five, filming resumed 2014, no disruption. Why, there was a 250,000 petitions. You know, the family said, hey, the show's not going to go on without Phil. And A&E bent the knee as they should have. They should never have bent the knee to the mob. And that showed the power of Phil. Phil has saved many lives, many more than most of these leftists who work to destroy lives. Fans fought for Phil's redemption story. And the revival lacks that pull, lacks that type of love that the fans had for Phil. And that's obviously shown in the ratings. So Phil, rest in peace. Phil passed May 25th, just a couple months ago, days before the revival's premiere. The cause is Alzheimer's and blood disorder. The impact is it's a massive void for the family nationwide, meaning the fans and the show, because they related and they loved Phil. He was beloved. And I'm sure it's tough for the family, you know. So, like many, my heart aches for the Robertsons, as it would for any friend who loses a loved one. My dad's 92, knock on wood. Just got the big note from the doctor, got the phone call from the sibling saying, hey, Dad, Doc says, yeah, he's starting to lose it a little bit. He's about 80% there, so I'm going to have to head on there to have what's probably my last good visit with my father. You know, so I understand what they went through. I used to work at the Alzheimer's Association. I've seen what Alzheimer's does. And here's my public notice on this is, the last I checked, it was 10, 15 years ago, but we were still putting like $90 billion into cancer breast research. And we've done so much to help that. And if you detect cancer in the breast early on, breast cancer, you can overcome it. They were like giving only $4 billion to Alzheimer's. That's an epidemic. That's here. I used to say it's coming. That was 10, 15 years ago. It's here. Phil's an example. My father's an example. Tens of millions of Americans are examples, and the government isn't doing anything about it. So what's his legacy? He stood firm in faith, and he changed lives with redemption. It was not only his redemption, but the redemption he helped others achieve. So part of that legacy is Miss Kay, his wife who stuck with him through thick and thin. I think he was 16. She was 14 when they met and started dating. Married her, stuck with her. He had his issues, his trials and tribulations when he was drinking hard and fought his demons. But Miss Kay is now 77. She faces life without a husband that she had for 59 years. She fell in April. She was hospitalized, and she's battling depression. You know, I was telling the missus, you know, it would not shock me if Miss Kay joins her husband soon. There's many stories of couples married that long, together that long. The first one passes, it's not long after the next one goes. And that's not good or bad. It's just sometimes souls are meant to be together through in this life and into the next. She's currently living with the granddaughter, Anna, and that is Jace and Missy's daughter. So Phil's absence, that really guts a revival. I read he was originally going to be part of it, and without his greedy soul, the ratings will suffer. So what is the current state of the revival setup and its struggles? Well, it premiered June 1st on A&E, 9 p.m. Sunday. Two seasons we're going to get. We have this season, which is right around episode 5 or 6. It's expected to air 21-hour episodes. It's, again, currently season 1. What's surprising is we only have ratings for the first episode. So A&E airs it, then it streams the next day on Amazon Prime Video, Hulu, and Pluto TV, which I found surprising, considering that's completely free. Now, the ratings I give are probably are more than likely the A&E that I found, not the combined Prime Video, Hulu, Pluto TV. And, you know, we're still in the Wild West. They're still working out grabbing those numbers. So all those numbers total will dictate. But the question is, does Prime Video show the same commercials that are on A&E and on Hulu and on Pluto TV, or do they have their own advertisers? I think it's the latter. They have their own advertisers. So that diminishes how much they can charge for ads. If those numbers were all on one network, it would blow up the ad price. So that does affect decision-making for this show, but we'll see. So the overview for the reboot, it's Willie and Corey, his wife, and their kids, John, Luke, Sadie, Will, Bella, and Rebecca. And, you know, so those are obviously the grandkids of Phil. And it centers on Willie's family. Now, we grew up with Jet, Jace, and Willie. So to me, it's incomplete. I mean, not in terms in numbers. That's a big family Willie has. And God bless him and Corey. They've adopted kids. They've helped. They've done a lot, you know, in terms of being contributors to society, more than the average person. So I'm not saying this is a knock, but I'd love to see Jace's kids, and I'd love to see Jeff's kids. But one's in Texas, and the other's kids are in Tennessee, I believe. And Jace is more like Phil. He's a Bible-thumping a fool. My wife watches him on their podcast, him and Alan, and there's a third person. I don't watch it, but she does. That's why I don't remember the third person's name. But unlike the original, there's no duck hunting. There's no real pranks, and there's no gritty vibe. I mean, there are pranks, I guess. But there was a chemistry. There was a love. There was a brotherly love. There was always a lesson tied at the end. And they try to do that here, but there's just no connection. It's a nice little show. But now I used to look forward to, when I discovered it, I was just gobbling it up, binge watching it, and then looking forward to the new shows. None of that. You know, it's going to come on tomorrow night here at the house, and we'll watch it. But we're not like, oh, it's that time, you know? And it sounds silly, but it shows people get up for. I just got through binge watching a Korean show. I watch a lot of Asian television, a lot of Norwegian television, more so than I watch American. So not a lot, but when I do get time to watch. And I watch a lot of older shows. I don't watch a lot of current American shows. They're so woke, so bad, so terribly acted. A lot of money put into it, and you get a subpar show. And they wonder why the numbers quickly drop after it comes out on these streaming services. But anyway, again, unlike the original, there's no duck hunting, no pranks, no gritty vibe. So the focus, again, is on Willie's family, his semi-retirement from Duck Commander. And they talk about Sadie's podcast, John Luke's coffee shop, and Bella's gift shop. Again, these are, we don't relate because there's no struggle. You know, Mama and Papa gave him money, or it's actually Mama or Papa's company that's actually owning it, or whatnot. And that's not a knock against them. They can have their own skills, their own talent, and bring it up to another level. But we related to the struggles that family had early on that they relayed to us that helped them appreciate what they got afterwards. And I'm not saying the kids don't, but the average person is not relating to that. So what are some of the things? Parenting, entrepreneurship, and polished faith. And that's what we're not relating to, is the entrepreneurship. And, you know, because I told my wife, man, wouldn't it be great if our families were like that, these big, wonderful families living together? Like my family, we're all scattered. Her family, her parents have passed. Her brother passed, and she only has her sister, but she's on the East Coast, where my whole family's on the East Coast. I'm the only one on the West Coast. I've got a half-brother that's getting ready to move to Hawaii. So there is something special about how tight they are, how they live in a compound, for lack of a better word. And what the tone is about, it's modern. It's family branding. It's not swamp grit like Phil brought to the table. So this polished reboot strays from Duck Dynasty's roots. And that's what is helping to set up the numbers they got on opening night. Willie can't carry the show himself. I've noticed the last couple of episodes, they've tried to do that. What I think may have happened, and I could be wrong, but I'm sure these shows are in the can and done, but the editing is still taking place. But what happens at times is stories they may have cut out, they may be putting back in. So they may have had less of Willie and more of the family. They're having more of Willie. And they're doing it smartly. Willie with one of the kids. One of the episodes had Willie with Bella's in-law, the husband. And Willie was being an ass. And it was purposely done. And it wasn't that funny, but it was cute. But that's the smart way to do it. So we get introduced to the in-law, the son-in-law, and he gets his airtime. And you start to relate to him. Yeah, Willie's being an ass. We're with you, bro. So you get that connection. So they're doing it the right way. But Willie can't do it himself. It'd be great if they had Jace, if they had Alan, maybe Alan with Bella, and her. They brought up her infertility. I think it's her infertility. Alan, you know, storylines like that. But he can't carry the show. And it was his interactions and living clashes with his siblings, Jace specifically, and other Duck Commander employees and friends that won the heart of the fans and was the heart of the show. So not one brother or cast member carried the original, as it was a bit of an ensemble, even though Willie was the glue that everybody kind of revolved around in many ways. But they all had it, but Jace had equal time. But Willie being the CEO, he, you know, so it was a different dynamic. So as the shows progress, they'll likely begin to cut and edit more stories featuring Willie more than they likely planned. Again, I'm speculating. So what is a cast breakdown? Obviously, Willie Robertson, Phil's third son, the CEO, semi-retired. He's looking for a successor. He's really not, but that's just a storyline they're throwing. Then Corey Robertson, Willie's wife. She runs Duck Commander now, and she produces via Tread Lively Productions. So there's probably some bias in there. And when I say bias, I don't mean it in a negative way. It's just you're going to be biased towards your family doing that, et cetera, et cetera. And that's fine. You know, she has a wonderful family from what we're seeing. They've done a wonderful job raising them. There's just a lack of connect, and they've got to build that connection up. And they're not going to build that connection up by just showing the kids. They've got to show interaction with the older clan. Then there's Uncle Cy, 77. He's humor, has dumb humor with Bigfoot Pitch. And he's active early on, and I'm going to talk about that in a bit. And poor Miss K. I say poor Miss K because she's struggling. Sparse appearances due to the fall. Well, no, I don't think it's due to the fall. They had already wrapped up season one, but she's had sparse appearances, and she lives with Anna. So she's, you know, and season one has been in the can, so I don't know how much of this was affected, but she's older. And she's had health issues. My wife has told me this as she watches Jace's podcast. They've kind of given updates on the parents as the show goes along. And Phil used to be on the show a lot early on. You know, and then they feature Willie's kids, Sadie Robertson, John Luke Robertson, Bella, you know, and their spouses, Will Robertson, Rebecca Robertson. You know, and then their own grandkids. They're a little toddler still. So it's the Robertson clan. So the missing the key cast kills the chemistry, and Willie's polished kids can't carry it alone. So you notice I haven't talked about the ratings, so let's talk about the ratings. The ratings. Premiere was only 510,000, and I was disappointed for them. I was like, holy mackerel, that's not good. Because these shows cost money. And man, on their podcast, I probably can draw those numbers. You know, they're much cheaper. You know, and The Blaze with Jace's podcast does good numbers. So, you know, so that's a big hit. And but it did beat A&E's First 48 Presents in critical minutes, 378,000 for them. So it's still doing well. So based on the fact of how it compares to A&E shows, it's a hit. You know, but it is far below the original's 11.8 million peak. And I don't have it here. You know what? It's like 3 million. It's 11.8. I mean, it's not even doing what the show ended at 1.8 million or 1.3 million. Let me find that out real quick. Let me head on back up. So the show had 1.9 million peak or average. 1.9 million average in season 11. It peaked at 2.3 million episode 1 season 11. Its lowest was 1.5 million. So it averaged 1.9 million. You know, see, so that is cause for concern. Even at its lowest, it still was double, almost three times the number. You know, so you have to consider that. You know, so absent is obviously Jace. The podcast I'm referring to is called Unashamed. And then he also did a show called Duck Family Treasure. I had no interest in that. My wife watched it once or twice. She didn't have any interest. But Jeff Allen and the co-workers Martin and Godwin are missing. And they were the heart of it. Not Allen. Allen came on later, was more of a guest star. So missing the key cast kills the chemistry. And again, Willie's polished kids alone can't carry it. So the ratings was 510,000. I thought I had said that. I apologize if I hadn't said. 510,000 versus 1.9 million average of Duck Dynasty, the original's lowest rated season. And there are no ratings for episodes 2 through 5. And that's odd for a big reboot of this size, or is it? Speculation or word on the street, as I like to say, but there's no word on the street, just me speculating. A&E is hiding low ratings. the key is here, for most of these seasons, the first episode kind of was the highest drawing show. So that doesn't bode well. So I am curious. I will give a minor update in the next podcast because I'll keep my eyes open for numbers of shows as they go on. But 510,000 shows, that's a very niche audience. And again, the alternative streaming metrics, we have no data, and that has to be all brought into the picture. So my thought, though, 510,000 viewers, no further ratings, scream dismal ratings. Not failure, but dismal rating, and fans aren't watching. So why is it failing? Let's talk about that. Again, the words are proving to be prophetic. The quote, "The Robertson clan went from poor to rich, so I'm dealing now with little rich kids," unquote. I'm not going to do the quote, unquote. This is what he said. "The Robertson clan went from poor to rich, so I'm dealing now with little rich kids. I'm just trying to help them see their core values, nature. They need to get into that more. Y'all got to remember, part of being a Robertson is knowing how to live off the land." Again, quotes from Duck Dynasty Season 1, Episode 2, CEO for a day. The clan leader, Phil Robertson, said that. And he wasn't being mean or vile towards kids. He was just saying he wanted to impart that on them. And I think he imparted most of it except being one with nature. And they don't duck hunt, which was the core of Phil Robertson and everything he did. You know, Willie said it best, though. There's only one person that's paid to hunt. Duck hunting, that was Phil. And again, the revival swaps feels gritty at ethos for the third generation's polished lives. And you hear me, I keep saying polish. These kids are extremely comfortable, well-polished, and so scripted, it's obvious. There's none of that magic. You knew the first one was scripted, but they were so raw, so natural, that it felt real. I don't get that feeling out of this. I get script feeling. And then the scenes that don't feel scripted, there's just no connection. You know, yeah, I'm very happy they have the grandkids, Willie and Corey, our grandparents, but we're not interested in their stories. We're interested in the story of Willie and Corey and Jace and Alan and Jep and Cy and Godwin and Martin. And why do I say that? Because the original dealt with muddy beards, duck calls, and a redemption struggle. That was their whole shtick, was a long beard. They made that a pop culture phenomenon. Men across the country were growing these long beards. No exaggeration. That has been wiped off. That's why people are saying it's not Duck Dynasty. It's the Robertson clan. Now it's just influencer lighting, podcast mics, and tennis whites. Sadie's an Instagram star. Her podcast got whoa. That's a good podcast. It's polished faith for Gen Z. And God bless her. She's delivering her message. You know, but you have to remember, being a social media influencer does not always translate to television. It's a very niche audience. The kids are God-fearing, preaching. They're not bad people. They're good people. It's just that the show is not clicking because most look at it. And I've talked to people. I did get some feedback from people who have watched the show. And the consensus is they were kind of born into a rich family. There's no struggle. There's no redemption arc. I can't connect with them because that's what I root for. That's what I'm hearing a lot. So what you get is Sadie's modern faith versus Phil's raw river baptism type sermons. So look, what's my thought? My thought is America loves Phil's path to the American dream. And the rich family vibe doesn't resonate. And that's why people probably aren't tuning in. Phil Robertson lived the American dream from brokenness to redemption while the grandkids inherited it. And most of us don't care or can't relate to inheritance. Again, I'm not knocking them. I'm just trying to tell you. See, if I was at A&E, these are the conversations we'd be having. How do we get them to connect? What storylines can we use to connect? How do we integrate in season 2, Jace, Jep, Alan, and get them to form that bond so the audience can go from the old characters to falling in love with the younger generation? That's what I'm talking about. That's what they're having to figure out. That's what is broken in this relationship with the audience. Or the lack of audience, you know. And the original, again, duck hunting, mudding, the outdoor chaos. That's what defined Duck Dynasty. There's no hunting, no mud, no backwoods. The third generation doesn't hunt. It ignores Phil's land-based roots. Right or wrong, that's a fact. And Willie said it in the first episode, none of them had duck hunt. They made it fun that they couldn't duck hunt, but they completely missed the mark. Because I'm watching it, I was kind of embarrassed. I'm like, well, that was the whole heart and soul of these kids. There's families where the heart and soul of what they do is passed on. So the fact that duck hunting wasn't passed on kind of misses the window in any type of revival. Again, it's not Duck Dynasty, it's the Robertson clan. So I think Corey and Willie in putting that scene together, whoever put it together, were clueless in not realizing the audience isn't going to connect with this. They're actually going to look down on these kids. And they did. My wife, who's one of their biggest supporters, in my mind at least, she kind of felt embarrassed for them. Wow, they don't know how to duck hunt? You think they would have learned. He would have taken them out. Their fathers would have taken them out. Looks like they did not. And I think we saw one of Jace's kids there too. Again, it's not good or bad. It just didn't happen. And it's bad in the sense that they wanted to make this show succeed. It needed to be part of it. The kids, their focus is podcasts, coffee shops, and not nature. Now, it could be wrong, but you're not showing us if it is on screen. Part of being a Robertson is knowing how to live off the land. No hunting, that kind of hurts Duck Dynasty so. The fans wanted grit, and its absence is sinking the ratings. Excuse me. To me, this is where Willie and Corey misjudge. That's where it's too much love for your kids. You're too tunnel vision. You're too narrow-minded. Not good or bad. Every parent has it. My take is that they are driving the revival's modern vision. I saw in a preview like months before it came out. It's like, which meant they were filming at that time. Well, it's time to pass on to the next generation. Well, the next generation has to have ties to the old generation, and faith alone doesn't make it work for television. Willie built a $14 million a year duck commander empire. Phil got the foundation. Willie took it to the next level. So that's why I don't fault Willie. You know, it's like, you know, Willie's Willie. Jace is Phil. Willie and Corey are the business minds, acumen, the more modernized. Jace seems to be the one who he's become Phil. Not good or bad, it's how we see them. And people say, well, William, you don't have a family. Well, I don't care. They're portraying their family on television, and I'm just telling you this is how they are seen. And this is why I think, and I know a little bit about ratings. I know a little bit about numbers. I've done television, you know. Now, it was guest stars on mostly fantasy shows. I was a semi-regular on the first season of Total Access on the NFL Network, you know. So what Corey, to me, is doing, she's producing, but she's pushing the family brand. I do wonder how hard she worked to get Jace and Jeff and those on the show, how hard she worked to convince them. I have no clue. But that question, as a business exec, that would be my first question. Have we set up meetings with those guys? Why? Because y'all got 500,000 in your first episode. We haven't started shooting season 2. And if you want this to survive, we need to set up meetings and get those guys on the show, period. End of story. If you want A&E Network to carry it. It's that simple. I think they assume that the fans would love their kids, and we do. But we don't connect to them like we did the Phil clan. And the Phil clan was Willie, Jace, or Jeff, and then Alan, and then the wives, Missy and Corey. And then we connected, obviously, to Cy and Kay, and Phil being the heart of it all. That's who we connected to. But we connected to six main characters, the clan, the sons. Even that, when Alan came on, it was fascinating. I was like, who is Alan? Looking him up and all that. And then I wanted him to be more part of the series part because I saw as the oldest, he probably had it the hardest. And I'm like, man, he should get his just reward suit. And I'd be on that show more. And I don't know what the dynamics were, but you connected to that. And the spouses were the spouses. It's not that we didn't connect to them. We connected to the sons. And I think they assumed that the fans would love their kids, which they do, but we love Phil's clan. So the fan pushback is one of the things I saw is the mansion aesthetic feels Hollywood. I don't get that at all, but I understand what the fan is referring to. A Google review was, quote, seriously, Willie, you should be ashamed. I'm sure Phil would be. Now, I'm stating that because that's an unfair statement. Now, it's not that. You know, it's wrong to say that. I don't believe Phil would ever think that. But I do think his words from season one are proving to be prophetic, at least in the lack of connection. But that quote, that fan is wrong. And I just said that there's always fans who are going to be mean and crude behind their computers. For me, it's an issue. Never forget where you came from. It's a truth towards humbleness. And I believe these grandkids have not forgotten. They're simply not one with how Phil was raised with the outdoors. And like it or not, that is one of the biggest core components of Duck Dynasty. They're not hunters like the previous generation was and is. And most parents say, well, I'm going to let them live their lives. That's fine. But you should always make sure they never forget their roots and they experience it and they do it. You know, and I see that a lot in the military. Now, Duck Commander now, per many Google reviews and social media comments, is, quote, Yuppieville, unquote. It's a tourist hub. It's not Phil's workshop. And you're on the tourist hub, I get that. The Duck Commander warehouse just seems to be more for tourists now. That's what it seems like. So, again, they misjudge. The fans wanted Phil's grit, the son's playfulness, and rivalries with life lessons. They didn't want a polished brand, which, in my opinion, led to lower-than-expected ratings. It's fan disappointment, though. It's not hatred. They're disappointed. They're not hateful. How can you hate the Robertson clan? They're giving. They're good kids. It's a different generation, I guess. Movie guy praised it for, quote, the biblical worldview, unquote. But the fans want more. See, that's the thing about the Bible. The Bible's message is one that many of us fail to attain because it's a goodness that our moral judgments. We want to have, girls want to have fun, boys want to play, you know, it's that type of mentality. So you need to mix that in with tales that'll draw you in. It's that simple. It's an ugly truth about life and human nature. Some of the Google reviews, I'm not going to say quote unquote, but I'm reading them as they are. Great to see kids grow. Here's a positive one. Great to see kids grown up. Oh, I guess it's not so positive. Great to see kids grown up, but it's not Duck Dynasty. No hunting, no mud. Just a sanitized brand. Pass. I admire their faith, but nothing relatable anymore. I bought the blind. I want my money back. This isn't what Phil stood for. I just completely disagree with that one. More Kardashians than Robertsons. I completely disagree with that one, too. But I just wanted to give you the wide range of reviews. But I get what they're all saying is it's not Duck Dynasty. It's the Robertson clan. Morning mud as in M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, not M-O-R as in the morning part of the day. Morning mud, struggle, and simple faith. In essence, fans are disappointed. They feel a sense of loss. They're mourning over the absence of the three key elements that defined the original Duck Dynasty. Mud represents the gritty outdoor, the backwoods lifestyle, the duck hunting, the mudding. And that gave the original its raw, authentic vibe. The struggle. And that refers specifically to Phil Robertson's redemption arc, his journey from a troubled, sinful past to faith-driven life. And that embodies the American dream through personal struggle. But I also related to the kids, to the boys. And I related to the boys because growing up, they had a struggle. They were children, young children, but they had to deal with Phil's anger, his boozing, his womanizing, his dark side. So I can relate to them. I'm like, God, they've earned it. God bless them. And it's not that the new generation hasn't earned it. It's like, never forget where you came from and how they are portraying them. There's no connection to that. Simple faith is the third one. It captures the unpolished, heartfelt Christianity of Phil's sermons. It's a simple, strong, lack of political correctness sermon. He was just real. What you heard and saw is what you got from Phil. His sermons and family prayers. And that resonated with the show's audience. Mostly conservative. A lot of born-agains who were former liberals, progressives, socialists. So we expected Phil's raw soul and his son's innocent rivalries and silly adventures with a life meaning of love at the end. So in essence, what I'm trying to say is, we wanted Phil's grittiness, his bluntness, but we also wanted to see the rivalries. And I say innocent because they were just having fun for the camera, a lot of it, and probably some rivalry there. And some, it was a silly adventures. The show, in essence, was about the boys, their dumb rivalry, and getting into mishaps, which we all laughed at. And at the end, there was a life meaning, a love told to us, and it ended with a big dinner at the table. And it involved outsiders and the spouses and the kids at times, but it centered around that silliness. Instead, we get a loving but rich family most don't relate to, and that disappointment is probably what's driving the ratings lower than what they were. I think what they felt, and I remember, I didn't follow the campaign too much, but I did notice, because I follow them on Instagram, but I'm not on Instagram, and I'm not checking it out. So when I do go there to post work or whatever on the company site, I'll check out my personal timeline, and I'll come across it. I noticed their campaign. So they all had the A&E marketing, hey, it's coming back. So they marketed it across the social media channels, and I guess it did not work. I think they should have probably done a better job talking about it, interviewing about it. I didn't see much of that happening. Maybe it did, but if so, it missed my generation, and thus another reason for the lower. Because Sadie's, I asked my wife, do you listen to her? Why? She said, why? She's young. I don't relate to her, but she listens to Unashamed all the time. You see? I don't know how much they talked about it on that show, but she did mention it, so they must have talked about it. So, how the revival can recover? Well, the core issue is the revival's polished vibe, the missing cast, and the lack of grit has alienated certain fans, and it's created a first episode ratings tank per comparison to the original. You got to bring back Jace, Jep, Allen as regulars or semi-regulars, and they have to be equal to Willie's kids. Why? The sibling rivalries, the pranks, the faith-driven banter, Jace's wit, Jep's quirks, Allen's spiritual perspective. And that's what made Duck Dynasty a phenomenon. You know, you can rotate the appearances. Jace versus Willie's pranks, Allen mentoring. Not every episode needs all of them, but you gotta have them as equal star billings. The fans lament, no Jace, no Jep, no Lass. That's what one said. And they crave their original clan's chemistry. This will help integrate the generations in gritty adventures. Blend the old and new generations in hunting, mudding, pranks to make the kids relatable. Jace teaching Sadie to hunt, for example. You know, the uncle, not the father. Jep and John Luke pulling pranks. They talk business. The coffee versus the, I don't know if he still has it, the roach coach. Oh, that, in the military, we call the roach coach where you had the truck and you made the food out and you sold. I don't know if he's still doing that. But, you know, something like that, you know. Allen guiding Bella on faith. With, the goal would be easy, to show the kids embracing Phil's land-based roots, tying to his American dream and who and what they were. And maybe they do that, and if they do, they need to show that on screen more. Fans want family chaos, not influencer vibes. That was on a social media post or maybe a review. Quote, no honey, no Duck Dynasty, unquote. And then you got to position Cy and Miss K as the elder statesman. You know, Cy 77, Miss K is 77. They're supporting the elder statesman. They're not central anymore. Cy is and isn't. You can use him sparingly for some heartfelt storytelling and avoid the caricature. It's like the overdone Bigfoot bits. That was so scripted, so terribly done. The magic of Cy's silliness is gone, and it's just overdone now. So use him sparingly where it will work. And Miss K, you know, she's always been a secondary character, but focus on, you know, who and what she is and her tie to Phil. Prayers at the family events. And we know she's limited by health. She's suffering depression, what I read. This could help her get out of that. I don't know, though. Every family, I'm dealing with that with my father, you know. On social media, when I was doing the research, I saw posts that are tiring of Cy's cartoonish bits. They want authentic moments. Now, they were probably scripted, but they came across as authentic Cy's silliness, you know. You got to reintroduce the supporting cast in special segments from the original supporting cast. Bring back Martin and Godwin for Duck Commander classic segments, moments. You know, Martin with his quirky warehouse worker that he added humor. Godwin was a loyal employee. He brought heart with banter. You know, No, I don't think they could do that with their kid, the brothers, the siblings' kids, but with the actual siblings. Tie them into some of the storylines with the kids, you know. But the warehouse antics are missing. They had a dumb, silly one in one episode of somebody was stealing the food. It just reeked of scriptedness, you know. And so it was more of a turnoff, not in a negative sense. Like, yeah, it's fakeish, you know. And some of the social media posts where they missed Martin's one-liners and Godwin's vibe. Emphasize humility, God, family, and joy. Downplay the kids' wealth, the mansions and businesses. Highlight God, family, and joy. And again, the pranks and the adventures. Show the kids in humble settings, community service, church events, not the flashy lifestyles. And that's kind of what they're doing, whether they realize it or not. And I'm not saying this to knock him. I'm coming to them as, this is a business. This is what you have to look at with what's happening with the show. They got to align back with Phil's simple faith. Maybe show clips of him when the stories align, you know, and you go back to a clip of Phil, how it relates to that segment, you know. That will help tie in the audience. And that's American Value fans relate to. Collider noted they're an online entertainment site in terms of news. The quote, the affluent lifestyle doesn't fit everyday Americans, unquote. That was a fan critique. Excuse me. Now, where the younger fans can mix it in with the show is leverage the kids' platform. And I'm assuming they're doing this for behind-the-scenes, fan Q&As, etc. TikTok challenges with John Luke, Bella, and fun family antics. You know, during my research, Reddit suggested raw, fun social media to hook the Gen Z. Address some of the fan feedback directly. Acknowledge the critiques in the episodes. Willie addressing the yuppie label. An example would be the cast discussing Phil's legacy, promising more grit. Those are some of the background scenes you can talk about. You know, have the Full House revival and use fan input to kind of adjust the show. Kind of like what I'm trying to do here. So these fixes, reuniting the clan, restoring the grit, showing humility and engaging the fans, that could revive the heart that fans love. It could boost the ratings and it could help revive. It could help the revival thrive. So what's the conclusion here? Wrong name, wrong show. Again, it's not Duck Dynasty, the revival. It's the Robertson clan. Again, the revival, episode one, 510,000 viewers. We haven't seen any ratings since. They lost Phil's redemption arc, the humbleness, the American dream. It's third generation. It's polished. No struggle. No hunting. It's just another rich family at the end of the day. A rich family we love and adore, but we don't love and adore them enough to want to keep watching every week. I believe Willie and Corey misjudged the fans' love for their kids versus the original clan. We love their kids. We love everything they do. They are wonderful people. My wife made me order Willie's book, you know, when it came out some months back. You know, but she's not as interested in the new show either. And we're going to keep watching it. You know, we just love the Robertson clan, but we are in the minority. So the fans are let down. They wanted Duck Dynasty's grit, not the Robertson clan. It's not their fault because families evolve. But again, it's not Duck Dynasty. So the term to me, Duck Dynasty, is misleading. But if they had named it the Robertson clan, it would not have worked. And the result is season one episode, the ratings were low because fans aren't watching the rebrand. And part of it, I think, is marketing. I never saw any marketing come my way via social media, via television, via radio, via anything, anything that was directed towards my generation. And they got to keep it real. And they're not. They honor Phil's legacy early on. And in their defense, the first season was in the can. But grab a duck call, you know? And that's it, my friends. That is it. That is today's show. And I guess my closing would be, well, before I close it out, got to do company business, as Corey and Willie would say. Make sure you bookmark grumblingsmedia.com. You can find this podcast, my conservative podcast. Woo, did I have a hell of a show last Friday. I'm fired up. I had to hold back because it was co-host from one of our other shows. Oh, and I'll never do that again. Not good or bad, but when you do a show, make sure you have free reign to speak your beliefs. You know, but you can catch my Fired Up Conservative Talk podcast on national issues at grumblingsmedia.com, as well as my Fired Up California. These are weekly shows. The California podcast is All Things California. And I do a sports one, Points on the Board, where I talk politics and sports, et cetera, et cetera. We have Libertarian, if you're a conservatarian or libertarian, or if you have TDS, I guess. But we also have pure play sports shows as well, basketball and football. Grumblingsmedia.com, you can find all that, including clips, in one spot. But you can also follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, under the handle Grumblings Media. And you're probably watching us on one of those platforms as it is. Make sure you like and share this podcast, and make sure you give it a thumbs up. So until next week, my friends, which I'll bring you an update if the ratings are here, but I'll be talking about another culturally relevant topic again. Until then, my friends, stay faithful. Keep hunting for authenticity. I am William Del Pilar, your conservative Latino for the red, white, and rude, where politics is downstream of culture. And what that means is everything culturally that happens eventually affects us politically. And I'm happy to say Duck Dynasty had made its mark in that way as well. Until next week, my friends, goodbye.